Okay. First, a general review. The basic structure of the Megillah is it's a 9-year story, and the whole and all the details fit together to save Am Yisrael. I have the 9-year story outlined on the back of the sheet. That there's a party. Guys, look at the back of the sheet. This is the structure of the whole Purim story. There's a party, and then at the party, Vashti's killed, and then Esther becomes queen. Esther has Mordechai appointed. Then Vixen and Zeresh get angry. Mordechai hears that they want to kill the king. He saves the king's life. It's forgotten. And then years later, it's remembered. And then instead of Haman killing Mordechai, Mordechai ends up taking out Haman. And that's the story of the Megillah. So it all fits together perfectly, and it spans 9 years. Along the way, there are a lot of details that fit in perfectly as well. So far, we've done numbers 1 and 2 and 4. Right. Okay. Now we'll do the. Now I think. Yeah. Now we'll skip 3 for now, and we'll go to 5. 5 is in the Gemara. So at the end of Perek, it says as follows. So Vashti was insubordinate to the king. So the king has her killed. And a letter is sent out. The letter, the point that Lukan Pasakov bays, a letter is sent out that Kolish Sower Bebe So Medaber Kil Shonamo. Every man should be the master in his home. That this was a letter, the point of the letter was as follows. Since Vashti was insubordinate, so now people are going to learn that women, you know, don't have to follow their husband's, you know, orders and everything, don't have to, you know, follow, do what their husband wants. So aside from killing Vashti, they sent a letter. And the letter was, listen, the rule is that the man should be the one who runs the home. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that this was an Eish Nister. Why? Because, of course, the men run the homes. That was a given. I mean, we're talking back then, the way life... So listen carefully. The Gemara says this was an Eish Nister. Why? Again, these are little subtle things that the Chazal and everyone noticed, that they noticed. So the people said, this is a weird letter. The king sends out weird letters. That's what happened. That's when they sent the letter out. He sent out weird letters. 9 years later, another letter sent out. The letter says, kill all the Jews in 11 and a half months. So the Gemara says, that you know, normally when the non-Jews get a letter like that, they have Zrizus, they're excited, maybe they'll jump the gun. But the non-Jews said, you know what, this letter to kill the whole nation of Jews, we're going to sit on this. We're not going to, you know, jump the gun and get it, because this king sends weird letters. So that first letter 9 years ago trained the people to not take his letters so seriously. So when the next letter came out to kill all the Jews, had they taken Achashverosh seriously, they would have probably jumped the gun. It's not going to matter to kill them on Yud Gimel Adar or kill them a few months earlier. We'll jump the gun a little. But because the king sent out the previous letter, they were trained to think, you know, this is a little strange how this guy works. Hold on. So we're not going to take his letters seriously. No, so he wrote it, kill all the Jews. So we'll wait for Yud Gimel Adar. That's what the Gemara says. That's a very subtle point, and it's 9 years apart. But that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah on Daf Yomi. Now, number 4 we did already. Now, number 6. This is my personal, well, I'm not, this is, I like this one a lot. Number 6. Now, when you read the Megillah, every time you see a date in the Megillah, you have to focus on, like, the significance of the date. So now, the king has gathered all of the women. He's going to choose one woman to be his wife. So what was the system? Each woman had one night with the king, and then he's going to choose. Okay. And so Esther's one of the women, and the Megillah tells you, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, Vatilakach Esther al Melech Achashverosh, Esther's taken to the king, Bachodesh Ha'asiri, Hichodesh Teves. She's taken she's taken during the winter. Now, one second. She's taken during the winter. So, why during the winter? So this is very significant. So here there's a comment in the Gemara, and then the Gra adds on a little bit to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, you know why it was in the winter? Because it's cold in the winter. And when it's cold, so the warmth of body heat makes you happier. So Hashem wanted Ahasuerus to choose Esther, to choose Esther. So if it's freezing cold outside, he'll enjoy his time with Esther more because the warmth is an additional thing. When it's the summer, so you don't have that additional benefit. But in the winter, you have that benefit. That's what the Gemara says. Eist, Rashi called Eist Sina. It's freezing outside, and the body is ne naguf mi naguf. He enjoys it more because of the warmth. The Gra adds on, that during the winter, the nights are longer. And Ahasuerus, although he wasn't a big tzaddik by any means, the Gemara says Ahasuerus did one thing right. He only had Tashmish Hamita at night. The Gemara says it's more tzanua, it's more proper. You have it at night, not during the day. So Ahasuerus only had relations at night. So the Gra adds on, not only was the night colder, so Esther had a better chance, it was the warmth would give her a better chance, but also she had more time with Ahasuerus. And therefore, Hashem, in a sense, stacked the deck to give her a better chance of being chosen. Now, I want to explain this. This is a very important point. This is Nes Nister. That the fact that Esther happened, her night happened to come out the middle of the winter, that was all part of the plan. Now, let me explain. Hashem could have had Esther chosen B'derech Nes Nigla. Right? That could have happened. Hashem could have said, I want Esther to be queen. I'm going to do a Nes Nigla. Let's have, do you have any examples where you're choosing one out of many and you have a Nes Nigla of how that choice was made? I have an example. The example, of course, is the famous thing. But the example, this is in my book. By the way, the next, Rav Nemetzel is the Gadol Hador, but the next 5 minutes he could not, and only I can. He can't, Rav Nemetzel can't do what I'm going to do in the next 5 minutes. Okay. What's the example? Did you hear? What's the example of Nes Nigla? Mary Poppins. On Mary Poppins, they're trying to choose a new nanny, and there's a long row of nannies waiting, of potential nannies. You ever seen Mary Poppins? Yeah. And they're all dressed in black, and they all have sour faces, and they look like they're mean and angry people. They look like witches, basically. And then, what happens on Mary Poppins? Literally, what happens? A wind comes and literally blows them away. They fly away. And Mary Poppins floats down with her umbrella. What would you call it in Britain? A parasol.
An umbrella.
Isn't there a fancy word? Parasol? Whatever. An umbrella. She floats down with her umbrella and she's chosen. Now, time out. Guys, hello. Whoa. What do we call those 5 minutes of the famous Mary Poppins
Nes
movie?
Nigla.
Correct. Nes Nigla. That is a Nes Nigla. So Hashem, listen carefully. Hashem could have had all the women of Persia die. He could have, anything could have happened. That would have been a Nes Nigla. That's exactly it. But Hashem said, no. The whole theme of Megillas Esther is Nes Nister. Even when you don't see Hashem, he's always there. This is perfect. So what does Hashem do, Mr. Fuchs? He works it out that Esther will have the best chance of being chosen, but not in a miraculous way. It happens to be her turn came in the winter, which is the best time to have their turn. That is a beautiful, perfect, classic example of Nes Nister in the Megillah. Mary Poppins would have been Nes Nigla. But this, the Megillah, is Nes Nister, and that is the end of my reference. Which I don't think Nemetzel could have done that because I assume, actually, assume is the wrong word. I am sure that Nemetzel is not holding in Mary Poppins. But that's very beautiful. That's very beautiful. So number six is good. This is a Nes Nister. This is how she was chosen. because of in a non miraculous way. Okay, next. Okay, now. Now here is the next is at the end. Well, at the end of Perek Beis. So it says, at that time Mordechai is in the Shar HaMelech. That's what it says. And then Bigson and Seresh got angry. They got angry at the king and they wanted to kill him. And they wanted to kill him. Oh. So what's the connection? Oh. So the connection is as follows. So the Malvim says, the Pasuk is showing you the connection. Why did Bigson and Seresh get angry? Because this outsider Mordechai is Yoshev v'Shar HaMelech. They were the king, they were servants of the king. And then when Esther is appointed queen, she brings in this outsider Mordechai guy, and he leapfrogs, and he's now higher than them. They're Shomer Hasad, they're the ones who bring him his water and stuff, that's the low-level stuff. And he's Yoshev v'Shar HaMelech. So the Malvim is pointing out that the Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Beis Kaf Aleph, is hinting to us why they got angry. They got angry because Mordechai, they were jealous that Mordechai was appointed over them. He says, one second. That's a good question which has to be thought about. One second. Shezeh over hakina. That over hakina mishomrei hasaf. Shechara apam al Mordechai, Yoshev begdula. And there are again, lishmor hasaf, kederach hashomrim. So that, and that's why, see Beiv Hashem, Hashem caused it that he'll be in the Shar, that they'll get angry. One second. Oh, you know, so what happened? So it's like this. Mordechai sitting in the Shar HaMelech, we always think that led to Bnei Yisrael being in trouble. Why? Because Mordechai wouldn't bow down to Haman. If Mordechai was at home, he wouldn't have seen Haman. But Mordechai was in the Shar HaMelech. Everyone in the Shar later bows down. Mordechai didn't bow down. So that led to problems, right? That Haman got angry. But what are we seeing now? The Malbim says that really Mordechai being in the Shar HaMelech led to our Geula. Because the fact that Mordechai was in the Shar HaMelech,
like the
king's court, like right outside the palace. The fact that Mordechai was hanging out right outside the palace meant that's why Bigson and Seresh got jealous, and that's why they tried to kill the king, and then Mordechai saved them, and it was written down and forgotten about. So the same thing that you might view as being a negative really brought about the Geula. And one more thing that the Malbim says, Vayikosev Basefer, was written down. The fact that it was written down and forgotten, it's also part of the Nes. If Mordechai was rewarded on the spot, then what would have happened? So the reward was over. So 5 years later, that's it. Mordechai, you know, the Jews though don't have a way to be saved. The fact that it was written down and forgotten about, this is number 6a and 7, is part of the miracle. So the Malbim explains that the psukim at the end of Perek Beis, that Mordechai is Bashar HaMelech, and then Bigson and Seresh get angry, and then Mordechai saves, and then it's written and forgotten about, that's all part of the Nes Nister, that's all part of the flow. There's a party, Vashti's killed, Esther becomes queen. She gets Mordechai appointed as an advisor of the king, who hangs out closer to the king. Bigson and Seresh, who are lower on the rung, get jealous that Mordechai jumps leaps over them, and he's a closer, he's in the Shar HaMelech, he has a more chashuv position than they do. They plot to kill the king. Mordechai saves the king's life. It's written down. Why was it written down? It's forgotten about. Why was it forgotten about? Why was he just rewarded back then? The answer is to save the Jewish people 5 years later. That's all part of the Nes Nister. Dovi asked an interesting question, which I assume the Mepharshim discuss. So that is the Malbim. One second, and then I'm gonna then what, this is the last point, and this is the whole Megillah, the whole Yesod of Purim is in this phrase of Rashi from the Gemara. Look in the first pasuk of Perek Gimel. This is not on the sheet. This should be number 8. After this happened, then Gital HaMelech as Haman. Haman becomes Chashuv. So you have to get the picture. So Haman enters the scene, and he's Chashuv in the beginning of Perek Gimel. So what does Rashi say? Look at Rashi from the Gemara. Shenivra Achar Hadvarim Shenivra Refuah Zu. That Hashem was Makdim the Refuah Lamaka. That means first there's the medicine, then there's the mak, which means as follows. Haman is the mak. He wants to kill us. What's the refuah? What's the salvation? The fact that Bigson and Zeresh wanted to kill him and Mordechai saved their life and it was written and forgotten about. So this part, so this Rashi says the whole story. Before Haman comes to power, Hashem has it all planned out. It's all been taken care of. You know, it's all been, you know, what's the word you would say? I have your back, whatever word you would say. Before Haman's in power, it's all taken care of. Vashti was killed. Vashti's bumped off. Esther's the queen. Mordechai is in the palace. They try to kill Haman. They try to kill Ahasuerus. Mordechai has them saves him. It's written down and forgotten about. Haman said the king can decide on his own. We discussed that 2 days ago. He doesn't have to ask his advisors. So the entire structure of the Yeshua of Am Yisrael is in place before Haman comes to power. That's what this means. After those things happened, then Haman comes to power. That's the first. There's the refuah. Then there's the makkah. This is beautiful. That's what that Rashi is saying. That's why if you read the first two prakim of the Megillah carefully, it's like so exciting. And this is why, this we'll discuss in Shir, this is why the second reading of the Megillah is considered more, one reason why, more chashuv than the first. You read the Megillah twice, night and by day. Which one is the Iker? The Rishonim say the morning is the Iker. Why is the morning reading the Iker? So there are different pshatim. One pshat is, this is the pshat that I like, I saw it in Sfarim, is as follows. You don't fully appreciate how great the first two prakim are until when? Till you get to the end. Oh, once you get to the end, oh wow, now I see how it all fits. So in the morning, when you're reading it for a second time, oh yeah, look at that, that's going to kill him later. You're more excited because once you know the end of the story, once you know the last chapter, then when you read the first few chapters, oh, I see it all fits. When you're reading it for the first time, you forgot since last year what the story was. So you read the Megillah, it's great. So then, oh wow, Haman, oh wow, Bigson, oh this is going to save him later on. It all fits together. That's a beautiful pshat. So this is one reason, one pshat why the morning reading is more hush than the night reading, because when it comes to Nes Nigla, you're blown away because you're blown away. If you saw Kriyas Yamsuf, it doesn't matter whether you saw it now, later, yesterday, tomorrow. Kriyas Yamsuf is just the most incredible thing a person can see. But by Nes Nister, the order is exactly what matters. This happens here, this happens there, then this happens, it all fits together. So by Nes Nister, that's why the morning reading is more chashuv than the night reading. Excuse me, because once you know the end of the story, it all fits.